I remember when we were still in Clancier on the West Coast, and Lee and I both working for the Beers, we had also a combined service one morning while the Beers were going through a lot of, well, there were a lot of uncertainty on the mind and retrenchments and all of that, and reshuffling. And we were just meeting Clancier, Koinas, and Horneklabai. You can Google those names. Still think they're still on Google. So meeting there in the angling club, just worshiping. And that morning, there was so much going on at the time, and I just said to the Lord, "Yes, Lord, I just want answers. I just want to know what's going to happen." And I felt God is saying, in my presence, in worship, that is enough. This is enough. And I just said, Lord, I just want to stay here. I just want to stay in this place of worship, because here I can hear you. Here, this is something special. It's better than anything else. Anything that's going on in the world, that's a special place. And every time when we worship together, we worship individually at home, wherever, there's a special connection. It's just something that we can come with expectation to hear from God. And I still remember that morning, and that was it. I had so many questions, and God just said to me, "This is better than anything else." And I walked out of that, and that just gave me peace. Just knowing there's safety in worshiping God. And also, yeah, today, many of us, we've got so many questions, so many things that we're looking for, trying to figure out. There's so many things that we worry about, or we want to save money. I went through long seasons of my life where I looked at everything that goes off on a debit order. And I had this mission in life to reduce it. It's going to come down. You had certain things that I want. And those are just this period where these things were just so, I was so busy with this. And even today, sometimes there's a lot of things that I'm aware of. And sometimes I just need to look back, look away from these things and just say, "Lord, I trust in you. I trust in you more than the systems, more than everything else." And there's some things that I don't worry so much anymore, that I just give it to the Lord. I don't know how it's going to all work out, but we're still a few years down the line and still going on. And it is so, we had a wonderful time at Bible study with Daniel going through the book of Mark. And I say, Mark, putting that question out, who is this man? Who is Jesus? And Jesus was living there between the people and always there. It's amazing how he spent so many years in Nazareth, and the people didn't know that this is the king. Almost just going through the motions. And only after his ministry started and he's got baptized and everything just happened. But who is this Jesus? Who is this man? Who is he to each one of us? It's easy for us just to go through the motions and to come to church and do all the right things. But who is Jesus really to us? And do we really trust in him, or is it just stuff that we say? And we come here and we have a great time, and then we go out and we stress again and everything just default. I believe that's why the storm is struggling a bit. They started all their new things and everything is amazing, but when the pressure is on, some of you understand, then we tend to default to our old ways. It's difficult to change those things, those habits, those way of life, those way of how we're doing stuff. And the sense God wants to take us in, he's taking us into a new season of trusting him, walking with him. And also we've talked about church and how this is an amazing place and what God was doing through his church and through us. But this is a new season, and in this season, we need to change our habits. And we are changing our habits, and we are changing in what we trust, and how do we trust, and how do we walk together in fulfilling what God has planned for us. It's a terrible thing to be lost. Sometimes we feel lost in life. I've been lost in the Cederberg on two occasions. I'm not saying just lost you, don't know where you are on the map. I was properly lost. Like, we wanted to, Dirkie, me and Dirkie, we had some Dirk the Deer, he's more commonly known. We had some good adventures in the Cederberg. This the wilderness area, we take the map, choose a piece of land we want to explore, and then we just go. And 3-4 days. So the one trip, we wanted to see the sunset. Before we wanted to see the sunset, we wanted to see in the southern part of the Cederberg, there's an arch, a very beautiful arch. It's almost like the Wolfberg Skere and the Wolfberg Arch and all those places in the middle of the Cederberg. But this is the Sandfontein Arch. It's another one not so commonly known. Guys will draw it with hand on your maps, the Mountain Club of South Africa guys, and then you can go and look for it. So we found some nice caves. We found the maze where you can go in and just almost get lost, but you can get out of the maze. And that day we put down our backpacks and we just left. They say it's in that direction, just go. So we, the whole afternoon, we spent there in the Cederberg looking for this arch. And we couldn't find it, so just around this corner, just here, just here, just here, just here. And we just went on and on and on, and now it's getting dark. We say, no, don't worry, we've got our torches. And we looked and we looked and looked, and eventually we realized, okay, it's 9 o'clock, we're not going to find the arch. So that was the first time I saw a GPS. I was working in an outdoor shop, so I had this GPS with me. But where we left our bags and where I put the GPS on, it was like a 20 minutes gap of fast walking. So I put this thing on and said, don't worry, Dirk, we'll just follow the arrow. And we followed the arrow till that spot in the middle of nowhere. And I said, okay, our bags are somewhere. And this wilderness area, not paths and everything. So we were stuck, we were lost there. I still remember I looked at him and he said, man, we can only pray now. There's nothing else. I've got a warm jacket, a headlamp, and a beanie. And that's it. And nothing else. And this GPS is stopping us right here. And it's amazing. We sat there and we prayed together. So Lord, help us to see something. And the full moon came up. Or it was up. It was this cloudy night and the clouds open. And the full moon made an incredible light over the field. And in the distance, I saw a gap between two rocks. And I realized that that's where we put our bags. And we just walked there and we found our bags. And it was just amazing. It's one of those moments where you just shout, like, ah! And you go wild. You let it all. It's a little bit louder and more wild. And it's just amazing. Because you thought now, it's 2 days in a 4-day trip. You need your bag. It's a long way out of here. And we did something similar another trip as well. But after that, we've learned not to do it again. Never leave your backpack anywhere. There's this American sociologist, Lewis Mumford. He wrote this book, The Conduct of Life. And he said, if you're in an emergency and if you're getting lost, you can survive 3 weeks without food. And he goes on, it's on the slide there, 3 days without water, 3 hours without shelter, 3 minutes without air, and 3 seconds without hope. And it's amazing. He continued to write in his book, and he said, that was 1953. He said, these men, if society is going to go on like it is going on now, it will get extinct. That all this is going to die out. And it's incredible, this thing, hope. What it will do for us. And this is not wishful thinking. Because sometimes we say, I hope I win the lottery. I don't know if you guys thought about that yet. But some people do. They say, I hope I win the lottery. I hope this will happen. I hope somebody will give me a new car. I hope it's going to be a nice present. My children got a lot of lists and stuff that they hope for. But all of those hopes, it's based on uncertainty. You're not sure if it's actually going to happen. And when the Bible talks about hope, it's talking about a confident expectation that something is going to happen. We know when the big disappointments, if you think about your life, big disappointments, it was linked to big expectations. Where you really had a big expectation of something, to something that you really hope for, that's going to happen, and then we got those big disappointments. Things that didn't work out, people disappoint us, stuff that people say to us, it really hurts us, and we can go on and on. I can remember at school certain times where there were friendships developing, going on camps, suddenly the guy want to throw you in the river naked. So there's just a confusion there. We were friends and hope this is going to be better, and or people, and more, sometimes you just become good friends. And one day things don't work out so well, if there's something that you need to sort out, and there's disappointment. But Jesus is coming, and in the Bible, he talks about the assurance. There's a confidence in what is going to happen. There's a surety. The hope of the Bible is based on surety. It's based on certainty. Not like the world, and not like when we just say it's based on uncertainty. And I just want to read something to us out of Luke 24. Just the first Easter weekend, where we know Jesus died on the cross and he's in the grave and now he's risen. And the woman, they were up early in the morning. The first day of the week, early in the morning, the woman took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. And this was custom to the time they were going to just work on the body. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning, stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day he raised again." And then they remembered his words. It's amazing, there's that part where when Jesus was there living between them and doing all the amazing things, there was so much good that they almost missed some of the what we can say bad news. He repeated it often right through the Gospels. We see it everywhere. Say, the Son of Man will die. In 3 days, he's going to rise again. Somehow these people, they just missed it. It was just amazing to be with Jesus and to experience everything about Jesus. And he spoke so many things to them. And he gave them so many things. And there's so much truth in that. And still they come there and they're looking for his body. See, if they got their spices, they said, okay, this is it. Maybe they thought, wow, Jesus is dead. After all of that, they're going there expecting to see him. Isn't that that's amazing? They went there with their spices and everything, expecting to see the body of Jesus. After all the time that they spent with him and going through. Sometimes we almost do a similar thing. Jesus is speaking to us. He's saying a lot of things to us. But still we behave in a way that we're not expect those things to happen, that it's going to happen. And then it goes on, and the angel says, "He's not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you. Remember, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day raised again." And then they remembered his words. And they remembered. I think even some of us, we will remember stuff that Jesus has told us. We'll remember those words. Because life is already difficult at times. Even more difficult if we don't remember the words that Jesus spoke to us. But I trust that the Holy Spirit, he will reveal those things again. And that he will come and just remind us of those words that were spoken, even to us individually. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. And I'm just going to jump. And Peter, he got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying themselves by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Even Peter, he's just wondering what had happened here. What is going on? What is going on? And it's just amazing how the Bible, where Luke wrote this, probably about 40 years after this happened. And if you want to, sometimes we tell stories and we want to spice it up a bit. We want to make it a little bit better. I know the men will know around the braai. You don't tell it this as it happened. You give it a little bit of a twist. And the amazing thing, the woman in that time with Jesus, the woman was not regarded high in society. And the women were the first to go there and to see what happened. And they came back to the disciples and they told them, this is what we saw. And even in the courts of the day, they couldn't just go on in there and give an account of what had happened without witnesses. And it's amazing that Jesus just orchestrated it. The woman was first. And they went and they tell the story. And then Peter just ran there. And he just wondered what had happened. Just as it is. No sugarcoating. There's a bit of a confusion. There's stuff. And then we read on in verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So now they are just, two of them, and they just start walking. Maybe they were also, you'll see now, they're also talking about what happened. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened as they talked and discussed in detail these things with each other. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked him, what are you discussing together as you walk along? It's really reasoning, talking, say this happened. Wow, we didn't expect this. What does it mean? What happened? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? Didn't you see it on Facebook? Didn't you see it, the Twitter, the videos that went viral, the stuff? You didn't talk to anyone. You're in your bubble. You don't know anything about what happened. And what things? He asked, he said, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet. He was a prophet. Powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. And they crucified him. And that is where, in a sense, the reality of what happened settled in for these guys. They didn't see beyond that. They said, wow, this Jesus, some say he was a king, a prophet. They say all these things about him. We had amazing things. We saw he did all these miracles. And now he died. And it is over. And they're just walking. And they're just confused. Jesus is walking right there with them, listening to this. And sometimes I'm just thinking, what are the stuff that I'm saying? What are the stuff that I'm saying just to people? And you forget about this Jesus whom we serve. Saying, wow, this happened and this happened. And man, I don't know. I'm just confused now. And we're just looking for answers. And we're just walking. We lost hope. Maybe they've lost hope there. And hope is an amazing thing. In the John Hopkins Medical Society in America, there was this Dr. Richter. So he did an experiment with rats. He took a bowl of water, fill it up about 30 centimeters, and then he threw rats in the water and let them swim. And after a while, the rats died. And to the bottom, dead. So then he took another batch of rats. He put them in. After a few minutes, he took them out. Or actually, he waited a bit when he saw they're struggling to swim. He took them out of the water, let them recover a bit, and took them and placed them back in the water. Those rats swam for 60 hours before they died, because someone gave them hope. That is what they, what from the study and the research, what they got out of it. Suddenly the rats had a hope that maybe they will get saved again. Maybe something will lift us out of this water again. And they just kept on swimming. And they kept on swimming and swimming. About 3 days or 60 hours. And that was just amazing, this thing of hope, of what happened. And you know, so, and even for our lives, that when we look at our realities, when we look at things that's happening, sometimes at a certain point, then it's as if reality just sets in. Our reality and our ways. And we say, well, this is happening. Why is this happening? This is too much. I don't understand this. And there's a lot of things that happen in our lives, and even people that passed away, and jobs and stuff that don't work out. And sometimes it's just small things that steals our joy. Rian reminded me about a story when this morning, when we were driving a few years back to Somerset West to visit Lee's parents. They're now in Stutterheim, but before that they were there. So we're driving with the car, and Samuel is on the one side, Gustav was still in the back, Lucy on the other side. And as we're driving, it's going to be a nice day visiting the parents. Everyone is looking forward to it. Samuel saying, Daddy, I don't feel so well. I said, okay, we're almost there. Another 20 minutes, and suddenly, he just threw up. I said, man, you can give us like a, you can tell us what's coming. It's over himself, over the car seat, over the seats, everything. That is a joy killer. Okay, that's like a spanner in the wheel. That is not something that you've planned for. That is bad. Next to the N2, that's not what you want to do. I can still stop to change a tire, but that is like another league. And it's just going there. I realize sometimes things happen that's really joy killers. Sometimes in life, life throws a kind of a curveball. And we're confused. And in a sense, we're losing hope. And even these guys, when they were walking in verse 22, it says, but we had hope that he, verse 21, but we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. They say, we've hoped that this Jesus is going to redeem Israel. And this is him that's walking there with them. And they say, he promised us so many things. He said that he's going to be the king, he's going to be our savior, he's going to be the Messiah. We've heard him speak. We've known all this stuff that happened. We've hoped in this Jesus. Now he's dead. And the worst is they can't even find him. He's just missing in action. He's gone. And we've hope in him. And that hope is gone now. Many of us today, we are also hoping for certain things. Some things we are just wishing for. And just wish that maybe this is going to happen or that or that. It's based on some uncertainty. But other things are really things that we hope for. Things that we stand in faith for. But we also know that life is not just plain sailing. There's many things, many curveballs, and many things are going to happen in this life. Even Tim Keller wrote in one of his books, Encounter of Jesus. He wrote this whole thing about Jesus, how he was baptized. Everything is perfect, come out of the water, God speaking, the Holy Spirit descending, the whole Trinity in action there, Jesus, God, Holy Spirit. And they say, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. So everything is amazing. And then Jesus being led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And we know the life of Jesus, we know the things that he went through, and some things that how he suffered. And also we can go to Acts and we can see the persecution and everything happening. But in all of that, we've got a hope. We've got a hope in Jesus that we can hold on to. An assurance. And as followers of Jesus, I just want to say that we are allowed to be disappointed. We don't live in this wishy-washy that everything is just amazing, nothing bad happens, and bad things happen. You say, oh, that's all fine, it's all fine. But inside, sometimes we are hurting. Sometimes I'm hurting on the inside. Sometimes things don't make sense. Sometimes I have to struggle through things and battle through things. Sometimes I just talk to Jesus. I just say, Lord, I don't understand what is going on. This is really tough. Some of those moments were even while I was studying at Stellenbosch, and my second year of engineering, didn't pass the engineering maths. And man, that influenced a lot of things. And Lee loves the maths. I didn't. I loved the other things. Came easier. So I had to make a decision. I'm going to just continue with engineering or change to computer science. But that was not the worst thing for me. Not even starting over. The worst thing for me was I'm studying on a study loan. And I know what's happening at home. I know the finances of my parents. I know all of that reality. So I took my dad's car. I drove to Jonkers Hoek, parked it next to the road, and I said, Jesus, you need to come through for me. This is a hopeless situation. And in that, I just went on and I just added on to the studies, to the study loan, and changed to computer science and went on. And in all of that, God came and He told me that He wants me to do internship at Shofar after my studies, a year that we basically volunteered and worked for the church. And I thought, man, this is going to be tough to work this one out, to tell this to my parents. But one day, coming to my room, there was a check in my Bible. And He just said, the full amount of my study loan settled. Kaboom. And I shared it with some of you. I went to Upsa and they said, man, you need to do other things with this money. I said, no, Jesus gave me this. God has come through for me. Yeah. Settled. And that was in that. I had a really, and it didn't always work out like this. Got other stories where I just hang in there. And I said, Jesus, you are still enough. You are still enough. You are still real. You're still walking with me today. Sometimes Jesus just come and he just flip my world around. There's many, many things like that. Many examples. Other times I just know that I'm not alone. I can walk this road even though it's difficult, even though things don't make sense, even though I don't know how it's going to happen in various ways. Jobs, companies, business, relationships, whatever. We all face challenges and realities. It's really tough. Listen, Jesus speaking in verse 25. He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Do not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter His glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning Himself. You say, how are you guys are missing the bigger picture. You say, how do you forget all this? In the laws, the prophets, everything that happened. How can it be that we just forget? And even in my own life, how can it be so easily that I just forget these testimonies? That I forget these breakthroughs? That I forget what Jesus has done for me? And I get to this place where a new reality settles in and I'm just walking and I'm confused and I don't understand what's going on. How can it be that it's so easy to forget? And He went with him through all of this. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if He were going farther. But they urged Him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over. So He went in to stay with them. And when He was at the table, He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him, and He disappeared from their sight. Then their eyes opened and they see, wow, this is Jesus. This is the fulfillment. This is the one we hope for. This is it. And then they just got up and they ran back to Jerusalem. And they just went to tell everyone. And they say, hey, we should have known. So it's like all these amazing things happening. And that's the thing, the resurrection of Jesus. The fact that Jesus rose from the death, that made all the difference. Else we were just playing church. That made all the difference. That Jesus conquered death, that he rose from the death, that he gave us life, he gave us a reason to live. And that, in that, there's a decision that we need to make to follow him. Every time when challenges come, we need to make those decisions again. Yes, Jesus, I follow you, God. I follow you. Things are difficult. Things are not making sense, but follow you. You see, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, for what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Then he appeared to Cephas and to the 12 and to the 500, and he even appeared to me. And he said, this is all these amazing things that happened. He just continued to talk about the resurrection of Jesus. And he said in verse 12, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, then what's going on? But he did. He raised, he conquered death. And then in verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If we are only trusting Jesus for just to get through day to day to day, if that's it, if that is what we trust Jesus for, just the spare wheel, just to make it to tomorrow, then he said, we can really feel shame. He's feeling sorry for us. If that's it, if that is the only thing that we're doing, because there's so much more. There's so much more. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And that is our hope. And that is our sure foundation. That is our starting block where we can start, where you can say, Jesus, you are more than just a handyman in my life. You are more than just a fixer-upper. You are more than someone that's just going to make things better here and there and sort a few things out and just give me this and that and that. You are much more than that. You are life. You are life. And Jesus is walking with us and he wants to hear what's on our hearts. He wants to hear those things that we are confused about, those stories, this stuff. And say, Lord, this happened. Reality set in. When it happened, I was just confused. But now when I look back, I don't understand. And maybe some of us, we're just walking. We're just walking to an Emmaus. We're just walking to whichever place. And I just sense that Jesus is coming alongside us and he is reminding us, don't you remember? Don't you remember what I've done for you? Don't you remember all those things? And in that, we can have assurance. We don't have to hope that things are just going to be okay. We can have a strong assurance in Jesus, not in anything else. And that is where we need to start, the resurrection. I gave you guys a little card. Rian's got more. He can just give. Maybe I don't think everybody's got. And the worship team might have missed out on a few. It's just a, hello, my name is. Don't worry, you're not going to put it on your jacket or on your shirt. But what is Jesus to you? What is Jesus to you today? You're not going to write your name on in something and give it back to me. It's just for each one of us. Because Jesus is coming, say, my name is Jesus. I'm the Savior. But what does Jesus mean to you today? If you need to fill that in, hello, my name is forgiveness. My name is love. My name is a second chance. Maybe you just want to put a question mark there. You're not sure. You're not sure this morning. There's a lot of stuff happening, and I said, Jesus, I'm not sure what you mean to me. Then you put that question mark there, and you take this paper with you, and you look at this and say, Lord, show me. Show me, what does it mean? Your name, who you are. Because it's easy to lose hope. In John, the book of John, where Jesus told the disciples, he told everyone, I'm going away and I'm going to go to the Father. And these guys, they were often confused. They say, whoa, wait a minute, this doesn't sound good. You're going and you're leaving us. And I love it, John 14 verse 1. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. What he's actually saying, you believed in God. Just like that, believe in me. Believe in me. And then later, Thomas said to him in verse 5, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I know if we... The amazing thing about Jesus, he doesn't come, he doesn't want a brain... this brain scan and force things upon us. He doesn't do that. He invites. He comes with invitation. And this morning, Jesus comes with an invitation. Each one of us is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What do you need? Come to me. Let us stand. We're gonna sing another song, and we're almost finished. I just want us to take a moment and just to respond to this. And maybe you just want to pray. Maybe you want to sing with us. I sense that some of us need to come forward this morning and pray with me or someone and say, Lord, I've lost hope in this situation. I don't see a way out. Sometimes when we come forward, well, I'm saying it this morning, I don't always call people forward. But I also sit there often. Sometimes we think when you come forward, there's some, I don't know, we think weird things. But this morning, we're just going to come. If you say, Lord, this thing I'm trusting you for, or this I need to hear from you, God. Or maybe you just want to come and say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. This season of my life, I don't understand. I need hope again. And then it would be a privilege to pray with you. Because we all got stuff we hope for. We all got it. We're actually on the same page in many ways. If we have time, I can go to each one and ask each one, what's the season that you're in? What are you trusting God for? What's God telling you? What are your challenges? What are the things that doesn't look good at the moment? And each one of us will put something on the table. But Jesus died for all of us. So I just want to give a moment that we're going to sing. And if you want to come forward, don't worry, you can come forward and still continue worship. We're not going to immediately pray with you. Father, we just worship you this morning, Lord. We just worship you, God. Lord, we are your people, Lord, in this place. Thank you that you came and you give us hope. Lord, help us to remember who you are, God. Help us to remember, Lord, what you are doing in our lives, what you've done already. Help us to remember what you are doing in this church, Lord, in our community, through us. I pray, Lord, that we will look through new eyes to tomorrow and the days that's going to come. But Lord, help us that we won't just trust in you just for this, for the stuff that's happening in our life. Just to make it, just to survive. Thank you, Lord, that you were risen, Lord. You rose from the death. You rose, Lord. You overcame sin for us, Lord. You came, you say, you are the way, the truth, and the life, Lord. Help us to choose to follow you, God. Help us to make that decision in Jesus' name. Let's worship.